You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to Sunday's Racing Podcast. Sam Norris and Paddy Aspel here to guide you through the action on Sunday. And do tune in to Racing Radio from 1:50pm, where you'll hear every race live from Huntingdon, Sedgefield and Leopardstown. Myself, Sam Norris, will be in the studio, joined by Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Rory Delaghi for all of the racing on Sunday. But first things first, it's a warm welcome for second day in a row. Sorry about that, Paddy. How are you?
No, just sorry to the listeners, second day in a row.
You've drawn the short straw, and unfortunately you've got to sit in a room and talk to me for 20 minutes again, Paddy.
Oh, not to worry. I was meant to be here Monday, but I knew I was going to be at Wolves, so I swapped with James. So that's how we've landed here.
Excellent stuff. How are you since yesterday?
Yeah, good form, thanks. Enjoyed yesterday. And today, thankfully, the weather's a little bit kinder and horses are getting through conditions at both tracks. So enjoying the day so far.
Yeah, let's take a little look back on some of Saturday's racing. Then we're recording this just on the back of the Grimthorpe. We'll start there, Paddy. The Grimthorpe won by Definitely Red. It was perhaps not the most vintage renewal ever of the race, but it had a decent competitive feel to it. But Definitely Red has ran them ragged in the end and has won by a distance.
He did in the end. When he completes, his record's fantastic, to be honest. He's been on the floor. He was unlucky the last time. It wasn't his fault that the jockey ended up coming off. He was badly hampered, but he's really put that race. He travelled into the race really nicely, Sammy, and once he's gotten to the front, Danny was positive on him and he set sail. And I mean, really, Last Samurai, all he was doing was picking up the pieces of, you know, a bit of place prize money, because he just, the poor old horse, he looked stuck to the floor with 12 stone there today. And I mean, he jumped okay, but just, they had him in top gear from a good way out. But Last Samurai, being as he is, he just never knows when to give in. And he didn't today. And he's come home and picked up a little bit of prize money. But there's no doubt the winner was impressive. And he's a big, solid horse. And like I say, when he completes, he's very, very reliable. And he's fairly high class.
It was given 10 stone 7 for the Grand National. Obviously, as we mentioned yesterday, a few horses that were higher than him in the weights have came out, so maybe a few pounds more than that. But he's certainly going to be in receipt of plenty of weight from the likes of the Last Samurai, who he's beaten comfortably today. I know the Last Samurai won't have to carry quite as much as that in the National, but he's going to be getting plenty of weight, definitely, Red.
He will, but then again, at times there has been the odd jumping frailty with Definitely Red, so he's got to prove that he can manage himself around the entry, whereas the Last Samurai, you know, we know how good he is on his feet, and he's very, very reliable in that sense. But I mean, look, he's a high-class horse, and he's been held in fairly high regard by Brian Ellison as well, and everything's come right from there today. But, you know, you wouldn't take anything away from him. You know, it was a very good performance, and he's a big, strong lad, and he certainly put in an error-free round today, and he was very good, and he's ended up landing a nice pot. And off that weight, is he, how would he fix as regards getting a run off 10.7? He'll definitely get in, would he?
I would have thought so, yeah. He'd be, I think he was about in the top 30 on the list, so he should be okay, particularly with a few horses above him in the weights coming out. I would imagine he's around the mid-20s on the list now.
Yeah, and I mean, the Grimthorpe has sort of come to the fore as a real national prep. Years gone by, I think even I remember I rode what was the name of the horse that Graham Lee won the national on? Burr McCain's.
Amberley House.
Yeah, I rode Amberley House, right, in the Grimthorpe before his run at entry. And it's amazing, you know, because we look, Last Samurai has got beaten there today, but I rode Amberley House in the Grimthorpe, and God, he looked woefully slow that day. I rode him and probably, I don't know, finished fifth, sixth, and then he's gone and won a national very convincingly. It's, you've got to probably take the bare bones out of a race like that, and you could get a little bit carried away with the likes of Definitely Red, but generally, do you really want to be turning up there today and maybe leaving a national behind you in the Grimthorpe? Because, yeah, it's a nice prize, but
yeah,
it's certainly a long way off a national. But, you know, I'm still not taking anything away from Definitely Red, because he was the best horse on the day today. But it doesn't, I don't think you always have to turn up to the Grimthorpe and go and win it to be a lively national contender.
Okay, 12-1 if you do fancy Definitely Red for the Grand National. Off the back of today's result, the traders have actually trimmed Verlion Rouge in by about a point into 11-1. I suppose that market move wouldn't have happened if the Last Samurai had won the race today. Mm-hmm. I think it's just Verlion Rouge just hardening up at the head of the Grand National betting. Let's look back at Newbury as well. It was Greatwood Hurdle Day over at Newbury. The Greatwood Hurdle itself went the way of Remiluk or Remiluk. Not entirely sure how to pronounce it. What do you make of his performance in what was, again, not the greatest renewal of the Greatwood we've ever seen?
No, and we spoke about it yesterday, didn't we, on podcast? And then obviously my selection that I'd put up was one of the, there was about four nouns, was there?
Yes.
So, you know, it carved up, and the Henderson horse was disappointing, obviously, coming back off a layoff, but he was never actually going to win at any point, really. No, I'm thinking of the race earlier. But Remiluk, that's the horse that young Harry Reid rode, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, good performance from the saddle. We've seen him in action. He rode his first winner for his new boss, Neil Mulholland, last week, and he's very capable, and he was well on top. But, I mean, the ground at Newbury today is probably looking like harder work than what it is up at Donny. It really seems to be catching their feet. Like, we've seen Thomas Crapper in that big chase. You know, and literally, he was down at the foot of the weights, but he was a horse who had only previously won one race over fences, albeit he's very consistent. But, you know, they were drunk up the straight, and you know, the winning margin is really exaggerated simply because of, you know, his rivals just fell away. And
yes,
it's been the same in that hurdle race. You know, horses were very, very tired up the run-in, and the likes of that 7 pound off his back that Harry Reid took today, it's proven vital, because the ground does seem to be catching hold of their feet today, Sammy.
Absolutely. Quick word on Thomas Crapper then. You mentioned there, who won the Grade 3 prize over at Newbury, the 315. Has all of a sudden become a well-handicapped horse. He's a horse that we know a lot about, Paddy. We've seen him just fall short at the very top of the table, but it was a nice pot for him to win. He has become well handicapped now.
Yeah, and he was eased slightly in grade today.
Yes.
He's been you know, tackling some pretty good company, and like you say, he does come up short. But the one thing about Thomas Crapper is he's very reliable as regards jumping, travelling, and so many times we've seen him at Cheltenham there. He's in the hunt, always in there.
Yes.
off 10 stone and some of them real good handicaps. And maybe just come up short ability-wise. But in the process of having to turn up for all them big gigs, his mark has declined. And, you know, he certainly wasn't winning out of turn today. And, you know, he was, I think his price reflects that. He was there with a lively chance. And, I mean, he was in at the foot of the weights. And I think he's been a good old stick down the yard for Robin Dickon, and the jockey Charlie Post gets on very, very well with him. But same thing again, like I said, the margin of victory is slightly exaggerated, because his rivals literally just got so tired up the straight. But fair play, Thomas Crapper, who's generally his best form, has been on better ground. Maybe we were discussing the other studio earlier, as he's getting older, he just maybe wants that bit more cut, and that's sort of what's produced a performance like it has today. But it was well deserved, and a nice winner for both Robin Dickon and Charlie Post.
Yeah, definitely. Another tilt at the festival for Thomas Crapper, do you think?
I'd imagine he'd turn up. He generally turns up to all the big gigs. And like I say, he has been great for his owners down the years, because, like I say, he's reliable and turns up. And although he has come up short, he's generally in the hunt and gets his name mentioned. But he was lucky enough to come up trumps today.
Okay, excellent stuff. We'll leave it there then and move on to look at some of Sunday's racing now. We've got two from Huntingdon, one from Sedgefield, and one from across the Irish Sea at Leopardstown to preview. We start with Huntingdon's feature race of the day. This is their 3:30. A listed mare's chase coming for us here. 2 miles and 3 furlongs is the trip. We've got a field of 7 who take their chance in this, Paddy, and about half the field turning up here in winning form.
Yeah, it's a decent little race with a decent prize on offer for a Sunday. So, I mean, you know, good mares. You get some of these mares races around Huntingdon and they're quite lively. And like I say, there's some good money on offer. But I was actually keen on one of the bigger priced ones in Pam Sly's mare, Acting Pieces. Now, the fact that she's dropping down and trip round a sharp track like Huntingdon would be a slight concern. But she's a strong traveller. Was almost a little bit overraced a bit too much over 3 mile at Catrick the last day. But it was a great performance because carried 11 stone 13 that day. And like I say, did actually go with the choke out for a bit. And I mean, previous to that, on its first chase start, was only beaten a neck at Weatherby. So has done nothing wrong at all over fences. And for a mare, she's got plenty of scope. Does jump well, travels strongly, but she's going to need to tomorrow, obviously, going back to 2 mile three and going up in grade. But, I mean, I've just been impressed with what I've seen of her. And if her jumping holds up, I mean, the handicapper has been impressed. He's given her a mark of 1.34. But Pam Sly doesn't have many jumpers, but generally the jumpers she has are of a fairly decent level. And we've seen the Bridge Andrew gets on well with the mare, and they could just land a nice pot there tomorrow.
Okay, Acting Pieces then, the selection for Paddy in the 3.30 at Huntingdon. We stay at Huntingdon then for their next race, which is the 4 o'clock, a handicap chase here, Class 3 event over 3 miles and 6 furlongs. Decent pot on offer here as well, just over 16 grand going to the winner. 3 mile 6 may take some getting for some of these, Paddy.
Yeah, 3 mile 6 is, but then again, we've got a nice, flat, easy track in Huntingdon.
Yes.
I don't. Is this the first Cambridgeshire National? It's not a race I'm familiar with.
Nor me, no.
Cambridgeshire National. But no, it's all very good. And I mean, similar comment applies. We've got some nice money on offer. The one I did like, Sammy, was the Sherwood horse, Blame It On My Roots. Only wins in his turn, this horse. And that's exactly what he's had to do. And he's had to wait his turn. But Julie, when his handicap mark allowed, he popped up last time and it was a good effort, and I personally think he'll relish this sort of trip, 3 miles, 6, I think he'll stay. He was a good winner at Kempton. Generally, he has been pretty good on his feet and reliable in that sense, and he's got £7 more to carry here, but yards are in good order and he is just a horse I like. He gets on with it, he is what he is. He's nothing flash, and he, certainly off £7 higher mark, he wouldn't have anything to hide from the handicapper, but I think Oliver Sherwood would be pretty keen to win this race, and I think it's well within his radar.
Okay, Blame It All On My Roots then in the Cambridgeshire National for Oliver Sherwood. Leighton Aspel taking the ride on board that one. We go over to Leopardstown now for their big race of the day. This is the 4.10 handicap chase. It's a Grade B handicap chase, so as you'd imagine, a good little pot on offer again here. 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip. Anything catching the eye here?
Yeah, I actually really fancy the gate checker here. Sammy, he's a horse who's really got it together this year for Michael Horrigan and JP McManus, and he's had a couple of good runs so far since the turn of the year. Goring last time on desperately bad ground, but finished off quite nicely. And I mean, this chap, he's won a point, a bumper, a hurdle race, and he's won over fences. So he's been a pretty good stick for connections. And the one he does know how to do, he knows how to win. And this is a lovely pot. It's just short of €30,000 to the winner. He's got a racing weight, 10 stone 12 to carry. And Mark Walsh, we've seen him Sundays now over in Ireland. I mean, he's been cleaning up, and,
yes,
and you know, especially while Barry's been laid up, now he's going to come in for even more rides. But he's so reliable, Mark Walsh, and you know, for a lad, he's not that old. He's really got his head screwed on, and he's a fantastic rider. And I do fancy the gate checker quite strongly tomorrow.
Strong selection then for the gate checker in Leopardstown's feature race then, the 4.10. We come back to the UK for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 4.20 race at Sedgefield, a handicap chase here. It's a Class 2 event over 2 miles and 5. Just 5 runners lining up, but they all look talented in their own rights, Paddy.
Yeah, like I said, we are sort of small on numbers here, but this is the series final, and I quite like this final because, you know, it does generally be a pretty hot one each time it comes round. And we had the horses in there, and I imagine it'll be at the top of the market as well in Bishop's Court and on the road. I mean, Bishop's Court has actually won his last 4, so he's going for 5 on the trot, which is fantastic for Neil Mulholland and Tom Skew. But he's having to give £9 upwards away here, Sammy, and it's going to take a bit of doing. And so that was making me prefer the Evan Williams on the road, who is a C&D winner round Sedgefield. I mean, look, it was a little bit of a non-event the last time, but he didn't have to come out of third gear to pick up that pot. And He's only 7. He still looks to be on the improve. But, I mean, this is obviously going to be his biggest task to date. But off a mark of 1-2-3, I still think he could be reasonably competitive off that. The Brian Ellison horse, too, was very consistent. He's maybe not the same level as the two at the top. But still, he'll be there with a shout. But I think on the road for me, Evan Williams is obviously eyed this prize now for a while. But Bishop's Court is going to take a bit of beating. But I just think to give £9 away to a course winner is going to take a big performance. So I'll be keener to stop with on the road.
Okay. On the road then to land that Young Chasers Series final over at Sedgefield, the 4:20. Just remind us, please, if you would, Paddy, your four selections for the action on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to start off at Huntingdon in the Mayor's Listed Chase Acting Pieces. For Pam Sly and Bridget Andrews, although drops in trip, I just hope her jumping holds up. Drop down to 2 mile 3 tomorrow. It's a good way of carrying performance last time, but I just think has got a prize of this calibre within her grasp. And then the 4 o'clock at Huntingdon, it's the Cambridgeshire Grand National. I went for the Oliver Sherwood train, Blame It On My Roots. Won quite nicely at Kempton last time. Obviously makes the big step up and trip to 3 mile 6 here, but £7 more. Will have to come forward again and improve, but I could see Blame It On My Roots being up to winning a race of this level. And at Leopardstown, that was my strongest fancy of all four selections, was the Gate Checker for Michael Harrigan and Mark Walsh. This 7-year-old, he's won, as I said, a point at Bumborough Hurdle and a chase winner. He's fairly durable as regards ground, but he will handle that soft ground there tomorrow. He's got a lovely racing weight, 10 stone 12, and off a mark of 1-2-1, I think he's very competitively handicapped. And then my final selection was in the Collins Seafoods final up at Sedgefield in the 4:20, and I went for the Evan Williams trained on the road. He's still on the improve, this horse, and he's only 7. He's a course and distance winner, but he's crept up to a mark of 1-2-3, which is £9 higher than his last success. But you know, he's getting plenty of weight off Bishop's Court. I think it's a nice prize, and like I mentioned, I think Evan Williams will have had this one sort of on his radar for a while, and it's a decent contest, but one I think he's up to winning.
Okay, there we are then, Paddy Aspel's thoughts ahead of Sunday's racing. Remember to tune into Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Sunday, where you can hear every race live and in full from Huntingdon, Sedgefield and from Leopardstown as well. Thank you very much for that, Paddy. We'll speak again soon. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.